Okay, as I said it at the beginning, today is Trinity Day Sunday, and the focus point will be to explore very briefly the go between role that the Holy Spirit plays between God and Jesus, but also to me, there's no point celebrating another feast on our liturgical calendar if that does not have any practical implication on our life. Because to me, it's not about just doctrine, it's about us really, really interested. So, having said that, may I ask you, how many of us here this morning believe in the Holy Spirit? Okay, I can see. Okay, quite a good number. Thank you. That's, I can see one hand is still up. Definitely, yes, I mean, that's really wonderful. However, one thing is to believe in the Holy Spirit, but another thing is to believe that the Holy Spirit has power to transform our life. And this is to introduce the theme of my great reflection with you. The Spirit lives to empower us and to set us free. The Spirit lives to empower us and to set us free. Recently, I read a reflection about a lady who was one of the first to get her house connected to the electrical power grid. But after a few months, the electrical company realized that there was barely no consumption of power on her meter reading. So one of the officers of the company went to knock at her door and said, "Madam, is everything okay with your electrical installation?" "Yes, yes, yes. But it looked like you do not consume power at all." He said, "No, every night, every evening, I will switch the bulb on just a few seconds, just in time to light my candles. And then I switch it off again." That means, though she believes in the transforming power of electricity, she was not making any good use of it at all. I imagine that her, in every evening, her house remains still in darkness while she is connected. And I can imagine the winter time, I don't know where, it'd be cold. So she was connected but not using the power of electricity. And what struck me was one commentator said that actually the majority of us Christians, we are like that lady. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We talk a lot about the Holy Spirit, but we do not let the Holy Spirit empower us in order to revive many aspects of our personal lives. That struck me personally. And that's really one of the key lessons that I read from that story. So therefore, I'm going to explore very quickly through three points. The first one The spirit lives to bind us together. The second one, the spirit lives to empower us. And the third one, the spirit lives to set us free. So we'll use the three Bible readings that we have just read and we have quoted from different parts. So, point one, the spirit lives to bind us together. Here, let us remind ourselves that in the very first public sermon that Jesus preached after his baptism, he declared, we know it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. That was like his mission statement. And to set his plural to make it clear that's the purpose of which I've been sent. And the Holy Spirit is symbol of life, is symbol of vitality, is symbol of fruitfulness, is symbol of a dynamism, it's power. Actually, the word dynamism comes from Greek. Dynamis, and we know dynamo, the old fashioned, really, when dynamo is turning, that's when it generates power. But when it's static, when it's stationary, no power. But it has to be in action to generate power. As such, the Holy Spirit has always been one of the distinctive characteristics of God. And that's why Jesus Christ, during his teaching to his disciples, he said that God is spirit, and those who worship him must do so in spirit and in truth. And as a minister, I underline in my Bible, in truth. Those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's why after his resurrection, the renewal of the gift of the Holy Spirit was one of the key promises of Jesus in order to assure his disciples of his continual presence with them. He said, I will not leave you orphans. I will send you my spirit, who will be your comforter and your paracletos. Actually, that means your advocate. And Catherine, I always want you to be the lawyer, to be the advocate, solicitor. So, yeah, you better know what it really is. Someone who will take on complex issues that I may not be able to solve, to sort out myself. Someone who will do a take-up when we are going through our trouble, our whatever, and we cannot talk about, the Holy Spirit will step in to connect, to liaise, to unravel, to disentangle issues for us. Because we can imagine the disciples, they were confused. They said, no, I will send you my paracletos, my advocate. And however, one of the conditions that enabled the downpour of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples is, according to Jesus, their togetherness. He said, remain together in body, mind, and spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is like the cement that binds them. Where there's crack of them, no, it does not allow the Spirit to work. It's when we are together.
Such a unity allows the Holy Spirit to flourish among us in order to be the cement that binds us together. And this type of unity does not give way to political correctness. This way is binds us. We know the song that binds us together, Lord, binds us together. We've got that kind of people. That's the role of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And Psalm 133, I love that Psalm. It says, how wonderful, how pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to live together in harmony, for that's where God ordered his blessing in abundance. Wow. How wonderful, how pleasant for brothers and sisters to live together in harmony, for that's where God orders his blessing in abundance. So if I'm really in the way, that means wherever there's chaos, wherever there's infinite cracks, it's when we allow that my little time, my little thing adds to yours, it makes us powerful somehow. And then when we pray, we pray in union. Pray.
So that such a matter of the transformative power of the Holy Spirit is that it encourages cohesion and inclusion and diversity and community building. I like really, we are God-like, because we are different. But then the Holy Spirit there binding, connecting our various talents. So that's really the first point. The Spirit lives to bind us together. But we have to allow, create the atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to bind us. So that's the first one. The second point, the Holy Spirit lives to empower us. The Apostle Peter was a living example of how the Holy Spirit can empower us from fear to faith, from timidity to boldness he journeyed from depression to mission. What happened when he witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus? He denied, I don't know, because he did not want to be there. But on the day on Pentecost, when really they received the Holy Spirit, that same Peter was the one who stood up boldly and looked in the eyes of those of who were there and said, you know that Jesus Christ, we believe he was our Messiah, but you have crucified him. I saw it. No more fear. He could look at them in the eyes and speak. And what I like in the passage is when Peter stood up and he had the courage to unlock the door, because see Jesus, they locked themselves behind locked doors, but then he came out and he could speak to them, and those who listened in the congregation, they say, Adelphi, if that means, oh brother, what can we do now? Now, for me, that's a very, very key moment for Peter being able to speak and for them to respond with, oh brother, oh sister. When the Spirit set us free from idea of prejudice,
from
cheer,
from us. We are able, we leave behind our baggage and we see others through the lenses. And suddenly, it's no longer enemy. They say, oh brother, oh sister, what are you doing? And Peter said, they say, just repent. No condemnation. And you yourself will receive the Holy Spirit. That's it. Because the Holy Spirit does not, no distinction, it does not depend on your past. It's just your willingness. Now they say, what can I do? They say, just repent and you will receive it. It's for each one of us. And that's for the very first time in that context that the term brother, sister was used. Because suddenly they could see through the bigger perspective, through the lenses, seeing the whole as someone they could connect, not the enemy to be destroyed, but brother, sister. And talking about the Spirit led to set us free. According to many theologians, the violent earthquake that occurred during the first Pentecost was a sign of what I call a divine protest against the different sort of oppressions and the status quo under which people were living. And as I said, I want to explore, whenever I celebrate another feast, whether it's Easter, whether it's Pentecost, or a Trinity like this, I want it to have practical implication on my faith. Because it's not just about, yes, we have just celebrated the Trinity, so what have you? So, I want to, if you allow me, I want to take a personal story that I have never shared publicly before. Let's remember, God in our covenant with His word, I'll be your God, and you'll be my people. This happened to me right at the beginning of the COVID-19 crisis. It all started with gradual body pains combined with excessive tiredness and difficulties with breathing. At that time, there was no COVID test available. Despite my multiple calls to my GP, they kept telling me that there was nothing wrong with me and that I should just take paracetamol and drink water. But my condition continued to worsen so quickly that I could barely get off my bed. Then I decided to inform our then superintendent, William, the Dan Hayes. And I also started informing my wife and my family about my last will. Me to tell you how serious it was. You can imagine the impact. Because at that time, But I thought to the point that they take me to hospital where you were not allowed to, nobody, family members were not allowed to go to hospital. And I did not want to die a lonely death without being able to speak to my body. So lonely. Because I knew my body, I knew that there's something completely wrong. Then during one of my sleepless nights, I clearly heard a voice telling me, "Your medical doctors are failing you. Why don't you commit your case to the Holy Spirit to be your advocate?" This is what happened. "Why don't you commit your case to the Holy Spirit to be your advocate?" Wow. Suddenly, I felt liberated from the fear of death. And I started praying, "Holy Spirit, have mercy on me. Be my advocate. Intervene in my helpless situation. Choose for me a more compassionate doctor. Give them your divine instruction. Reveal to them what I'm suffering from." Any prayer, really, as I was lying in bed, that's the type of prayer I was just speaking, just like that. As I could not sleep, I was just speaking. Surprisingly, when that day I phoned my GP surgeon early in the morning, the receptionist told me that there was a doctor available to do a video consultation on me. This kind of WhatsApp asking me what to do, and he could see me. And a few minutes in the consultation, the doctor told me, "Oh, Mr. Deji, you are suffering from pneumonia." And he said, "Okay, could you please send someone to your local pharmacy and send instruction, antibiotics there." And my wife, because I could not go, my wife went to collect the antibiotics for me. I can tell you, within 2 weeks, I regained complete my strength. And here I can say, to God be the glory. Completely up to now. Every day. And to me, when as a minister, when I talk about Jesus, when I talk about the Holy Spirit, it's not a doctrinal concept. Now I know what I'm talking about. Because I have experienced it. The sensation or the feeling that suddenly I was released from the fear of death, that alone was actually magical. But the clear instruction, "Why don't you commit your case to the Holy Spirit to your advocate?" In our second reading in Romans chapter 5, 3 to 5, St. Paul wrote, I quote, "But also we boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." happening to you, happening to me. It's not just something that to me really is you. Forget about Paul just talking about the Romans, but to me, he's speaking to you, he's speaking to me. If you take it seriously. And King David knew very well the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. That's why he prayed in Psalm 51, we know the context. He prayed, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and resting within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not, this is it, and do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me a willing spirit. He said he was one of the most powerful. But he realized that despite all he might, his power, if God was to take the Holy Spirit from him, nothing. That's it. I'm here. Now, the Holy Spirit sometimes called Ruach, the breath of God. I'm standing here now just because of breath of life. If that breath of life leaves me, that's it. We need to be aware. When I know that I'm standing just because of breath of life, and that is in me, then I say, yes, get life. Because all our what we call our might and power depends on the breath of God. If the breath of God leaves us, finish. And that's why we need to rejoice while God still keep that breath of life. So as I conclude, I pray that truly the Holy Spirit may continually bind us together. I'm not just talking about us here. Really, there's too much division in the world today. If we are the Christian, and if we were to be, it's not, we are not just being, we are not talking about union. We are about the spirit of mind speaking there. May this bind us together. May the Spirit lead to empower us. We think, oh, what can we do? What can we do? And may the Holy Spirit need to set us free. I don't know what state you are, I don't know what church is holding you. When we are free from all what's preventing us to enjoy life in abundance, there's no price attached. May it be so for us. Now and forever. Amen.